Welcome to the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast. My name is Trevor Ruddick, and as always, I'm joined by a man who is very excited for the Reindeer Games, the new show, whatever it is, Brand Siegel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty solid today. Don't know if I'd say that about the Reindeer Games. I would argue that if it happened or didn't happen, it will not impact my life at all, because I'm not going to watch that. But we do have a finale to go over. We have to wrap up another season of Big Brother. What is this our third season of podcasting on Big Brother?
I think it might be our fourth.
Is it our fourth?
Season.
Do we start in 22?
I think we started in 22.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So this is our fourth season of Big Brother. I haven't been on the podcast in a minute, and that's been I'm upset that I haven't been on the podcast. In terms of the Big Brother experience, I don't know. We'll get into that.
Ben, thoughts?
Well, hold on. They don't know he's here yet. Let me introduce him. Then we'll get
his
thoughts.
And a man is always who is more reliable than Brandon, Ben O'Brien.
That's not true.
Ben, how you doing today?
Trevor, I'm great. Thanks for introing me. Yeah, Brandon, I had a lot of thoughts about what you said there, but I wasn't allowed to talk until you introed me.
Yeah, go ahead. Now you're free to speak about whatever you want.
What? I don't remember what you said, so it's
for oh, me, okay. It's so over. it wasn't that important.
It was probably something along the lines of how you're never on this podcast, but I'm happy you're
no.
here today.
No. And first of all, I'm on this podcast a lot. I've been moving around.
Well,
right?
A lot's a relative term.
That's why I've been moving around a lot, and that's why the appearances have been less. But look, we're all three of us are here to wrap up Big Brother 25, and I know we're all so excited to talk and discuss how great this season was and how we loved it so much. Right, Trevor? You're so excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited. yeah, you know, we had the finale of Big Brother 25 last night. A 100-day season, the longest season ever. It feels like it went on forever. And it also had a late start. It started in August, and it just ended here in November. We're almost to Thanksgiving, and the Big Brother season just ended. Yeah, so we're going to talk about it. Obviously, the finale, which culminated in Jag getting the win. 5-2 over Matt. He got 5 of the votes. He is the winner of Big Brother 25. You know, and I don't know. I don't even know where to start with this finale. I guess we'll just kind of start with that. You know, Jag wins the season. He wins. He's the winner of Big Brother 25. You know, quite a feat. At one point in the season, I gave him a 1 multiple weeks in a row. He was playing very badly. But he rose up from that. He won a lot of comps. I think he won 7 vetoes. I want to say 10 competitions, maybe 11 total. I forget the exact number.
I think he won 11.
Maybe 11 with that part 3. So pretty incredible display of comps, but certainly had some flaws in other parts of his game. So we're going to talk about it. But Brandon, I guess I'll start with you today. You know, Jag wins the game. And I guess my question is, like, how surprised were you by this, to see that Jag won the game over Matt? You know, he passes up on evicting Matt twice. He chooses, I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to keep Matt, take him to the final 2 with me. And he still wins. So what do you think about that?
So I'm surprised, but I feel like I'm less surprised than most. And the reason is, Trevor, I don't remember, a couple days ago, we were in the kitchen and I said, call me crazy, but does Jag beat Matt? And the reason I said that is I was like, he's won more competitions. And ultimately, both of their – Matt definitely had a better social game. But I feel – I told you, I was like, I feel like it would not be perceived quite like we thought it would be. And it appears like it didn't. It appears like it wasn't quite perceived that way. It's interesting that we saw Sari vote for Matt, the person who probably played the best game in the house. She's – at least – let me rephrase. The best player in the house. Mm-hmm. And she perceived Matt as the better player, and Matt was the better player. Jag literally had to win competitions to stay afloat. His social game was pretty terrible. His explanation of his social game was pretty terrible. He really, like, there was a point in time where, like, Jag was just kind of like brought around, like when Corey and America made their move, it was just like, let's just pull Jag in and do this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times that we rated Jag super low because he just wasn't playing well. And this is, like, pretty often on the season we did this. So especially in the end game here, I mean, it was just he was winning everything and he stayed around because he kept on winning.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Yeah. So I think because there's a lot of things we're going to talk about. I want to kind of talk about, like, like how JAG actually won, like what happened with the jury and kind of what led to their decision. And then after that, I want to kind of get into like, I mean, I think we all agree on who we thought should have won, but we'll talk about that as well. And then we can get into some of the details of like the game of like both Matt and JAG's game in particular. They were the final two. And we can kind of talk about like what happened, because I think a lot of people forget a lot of things that happened earlier in the season. I try to go back and Taryn was a great resource, but I tried to like remember like all of the things that happened early.
Big shout
in the season.
Out Taryn.
And then I think we got to talk about just in general the state of Big Brother as we get to the end of this podcast, because there's some issues, some things that I don't like that have been happening, and this has been a trend now. The competitions this West, we'll talk about that, but I'll go back to where I started. So how did JAG win? I think that America and Corey clearly changed their minds at some point, because when Corey came out of the house, he said multiple times, he said on live feeds, he said in interviews, he said Matt is the best player. So if Matt's the best player, then where's the disconnect, Corey? How did you change your mind? You know, it seemed like America seemed to respect Matt's game more. I think it seemed like everyone liked Matt more for the most part. Even Blue was coming out of the house saying the same thing. So where did it change? Suri, I think her vote was always locked in for Matt. That seemed pretty clear every time we heard her speak, from, you know, when she was in the house until her on the stage hearing from her. It seemed like she was going to be a vote for Matt. Felicia also seemed pretty locked in throughout. I remember in her exit interview with Julie, she said, oh yeah, JAG's going to regret this move. He made a big mistake and now he's going to lose because of it. And I think she even said like, I'm going to make sure it happens. And so from that moment and it carried through, she was going to be a locked in vote. So that's two already for Matt. It seemed like Corey and America were going to be Matt, but they changed. So the question is like, did they change at the jury roundtable? If they changed to the jury roundtable, I didn't really see it because they showed us about a minute and a half of the jury roundtable. It wasn't a lot of content. So I guess the question is, did they change there, or did they kind of have more thinking to do after the roundtable and then they flipped their vote? I really don't know, because the footage they showed us from the jury roundtable, I came away from it still thinking Matt had the votes to win. And as far as Blue, I wasn't too sure on Blue. I thought Blue had a chance to go for JAG. It was kind of hard to read, but she did have one. I remember her making one good point in the jury roundtable where she talked about how like Matt always made me feel good. I always felt good about Matt when I came away from those conversations. JAG half the time like didn't really talk to me. And I remember her saying that in jury roundtable. I was like, I think Blue's voting for Matt to win. And maybe she changed her mind. I think all along, Cameron was the person that was most likely that I was like, okay, Cameron, I could see voting for JAG. It seemed like he already had an inclination to want to. It seemed like, you know, the way they played the game was somewhat similar in terms of they had to rely on comps so much. And Cameron, you know, his social game was even worse than JAG's. His social game was really bad. But it seemed like for that, he kind of respected JAG's games. But I think ultimately, it's kind of an unknown. Like, we don't really know what caused America and Corey to change their mind. I guess the only thing I have to go off of is I remember when Corey asked the question, he talked about, he mentioned the word control. And I think he also might have mentioned that in the jury roundtable. But something about, like, it seems like JAG had more control. And I don't know. I guess that might be the reason. But it's really a little bit of a mystery to me. Ben, I want to get some of your thoughts on this. How do you think, I guess just in general, JAG winning, how do you think it happened? Like, what do you think caused, you know, people to change their minds? Because it seems to me that some people's minds were changed.
Well, it definitely seemed like that, because like you said, at the round table, which wasn't long, but the little we saw, I got the impression that Matt was like the clear cut favorite, because the way like, and I forget what exactly Suri said, but Suri made a point where it made it seem like, at least to her, she was like, why would Matt not win? Like, she made it seem like Matt was the clear cut favorite. There's really not really somebody that is a close second. And I feel like a few of them had that. It seemed like America and Corey kind of had the same opinions based on their tone of the way they were talking about his game compared to JAG's game at the round table. But when we got to the live questioning, it seems like a lot of the discourse around Matt was, well, Matt, you didn't take ownership of the moves. It seemed like, you know, Jag took ownership. Jag it seemed like you were just following along with Jag. And then Trevor, the moment when I felt like Matt really lost it, or at least to me, that I felt like Matt's probably going to lose, is when I forget who, but one of the people on the stage asked Matt, like, when is a time that you lied in this game? And when they said that, I'm like, oh no, Matt is in trouble. Because first of all, I hate that question, because that shouldn't be a requirement to win the game. But the fact that they don't think that Matt ever did anything that was malicious, or that was you know, behind someone's back, that was, you know, strategically making moves, that's when I felt like the tide, at least to me, has shifted from Matt being the favorite to Jag, because it seemed like those people on the stage very much believed that Jag was the one making the decisions. Jag had to lie to people's face. Jag had to make moves behind people's back. And it, at least to them, it seemed like Matt was just kind of following along with those decisions. So I don't know. I don't really know the exact moment, because, again, we didn't get to see all the conversations in the jury house. We didn't get to see, obviously, a lot of what happened at that round table. At least for me, it seems like the biggest reason is that people felt like Matt was loyal to them, but Matt really never had to do anything to better his game. They felt like Jag was the one doing things to better his game, while Matt was kind of just the one getting along with everyone and not really having to make any of those tough decisions, which I don't necessarily agree with. But again, it all comes down to the perception of the jury. And in that case, the perception of the jury was that Jag was the better player and Jag was making most of the moves.
Yeah, I think it seemed like to me that the jury already came into it, like, at some point between the roundtable and the live, like, questioning. They decided that it was, well, at least those five people that voted for Jag decided, yeah, it. And all of their questions were slanted on Matt. Give us yes, any reason to vote for you. Like, Matt, give us something. Like, I'm
he didn't help
Jag. Give me something to change my mind. Yeah, he certainly didn't. His questioning was terrible. I think,
yeah,
even if he would have done a really good job, it would have been tough to turn it live. I think that rarely happens where someone, I think almost every season, it's like they make their minds up. The questioning really never changes it, I don't think. So that was interesting. And I guess if we're looking at, like, Matt's game, I guess we got to put a little bit of the blame on Matt for this, from the standpoint of, it seemed like he was always angling his game from a standpoint of, like, avoidance. Like, I want to avoid the blame. I want to avoid the blood being on my hands. I want people to feel good about me. I want people to like me. And it wasn't, like, it wasn't at my hands, right? And I think it kind of seemed like maybe that was Matt's strategy to do that, so that Jag would be a bigger target in front of him, which I think is smart, because it's smart to get further. The point is, if you never convey that to the jury, if they don't know that, because you could even, that's where you use, like, your goodbye messages, I think, to do that potentially. But it seems like Matt really never did that. He never was able to convey that to, I guess he needed to convey it more to Corey in America. I guess he needed to convey it more to Cameron. But, you know, I think he kind of, in blue, I guess, but he kind of dropped the ball there. So I guess if we're kind of blaming Matt, at least for some of this, then I guess that's kind of where it can lie. I don't know. What do you think about that, Brandon?
So my thing about Matt, this is the reason I talked to you the other day about this, is I was like, if you really look at a resume in terms of someone who is in the game and doesn't understand the social stuff that Matt did, that was really great, and he never explained it to them, mm-hmm, why would you vote for him?
Yeah.
What has he done that he's beaten out Jack? And he hasn't done more competitions. He's not able to take credit for evicting certain people. He definitely shouldn't. It was on his HOH. Was Ceree getting out, but that was all Jag getting Ceree out. Matt was on board with it, but Matt wouldn't have wanted Ceree out. And that was the one thing Jag said. Everything else he said was terrible. But the one thing he did say that I was like, this is a great point, and he should hammer it home more, is Matt did not want to get rid of Ceree. I got Ceree out. Ceree was a great player in this game. Mm-hmm. She was not on my side. She was on Matt's side. I wanted to get her out, and I got her out. That is the best point he made there. And I understand what you're saying, and you're 100% right, without a doubt, that, like, that part doesn't really matter, the questioning at the end. But That is a good example of something Jag did do in this game, and he had a lot of blood on his hand. He said it in the absolute worst way I've ever seen someone explain it. It was terrible. Yeah. But he can take credit for getting a lot of those people out while Matt just can't.
Yeah.
He's not able to do that. Matt was very, very risk adverse, and that's good. That got him to the end. He won some money for that. But at the end of the day, if he wanted to win the game against a person who played almost an identical game to him, but just kind of better in every way that you can see from the eye test of a person that's in the house, not me and you, person that's in the house, it's going to be tough to win there.
Right.
And I think we kind of had the outside Big Brother goggles on, because objectively, Matt was the better player. Matt played a really Definitely. Solid game. And at the end, I mean, maybe we should take a little bit away from him because they didn't all see it that way.
I think the last two weeks, Matt just kind of fumbled the bag a little bit.
Well, even like his HOH where like Suri left, basically the last 6-7 weeks, what has Matt done really?
Well, I mean, he's the last 6-7 weeks. I mean, I have a list here. I'm trying to think. I just think being like the shield in front of Jag, because the larger point but that we can talk about
for
is
him,
like,
what did he do? What has he done in the past 6 weeks that he can be like, look at this resume point in terms of saying like, this is why I should win the game. Like what, from the outside looking in, like we know,
I mean,
everything.
It's really a lot of the stuff he did was the first like 2/3 of the game.
Yeah. I think his end game was just,
it wasn't good. I agree with that. I totally agree. I mean, it was really like,
and even
setting himself up.
Let's go broader here. At the beginning of the game, those first 2/3, what did Matt do that he can put on the resume and say, hey, Suri, hey, Corey, hey, America, here's what I did.
He did a lot.
Like what? Like what could he say from their
perspective? So if we go into this, the reasons why Matt played a better game. I mean, we could go deep into this, and I have quite a few. Number one, looking at our ratings, looking at our ratings overall here, that we had throughout the season, our weekly average, so Matt, starting from week one all the way up until week 11, we didn't have a podcast last week, but Matt had an average, this is between us three and Josh when he was on the episode, a 5.94, so basically a 6 rating on the season. Jag had a 4.43, so pretty much 4.5. I probably had a bigger disparity because I gave Jag a 1 couple weeks, so I thought it was a bigger difference than that. But regardless, we all thought based on our ratings that Matt was playing better pretty much for essentially the entire season. As far as the way the game went, I mean, at the beginning of the game, Matt and Jag were both kind of in like the same alliance. They were in family style. They were both, Riley was that first HOH. They were both close with Riley. Jag in particular was very close with Riley. And then she became a quick target, mostly, partly on her own volition, partly because the entire alliance would spill stuff, Blue would spill stuff. And then the other reason was Jared was involved in it, and Jared was obviously Cerise's son. That was part of it. And then Cameron, even further hurt this. Cameron probably sealed Riley's fate more than anyone, put the target on her back. And then from then on, Jag was kind of supposed to be like one of the next targets, mostly because he kept trying to pick up the pieces and put like some sort of similar alliance back together. Whereas Matt took a different approach where he was like, you know what, this didn't work. I'm going to move on. I'm going to focus on my relationships, and I'm going to try to really get in a good spot here. And he started to make relationships with Hysem. Hysem felt good about him. He had a good relationship with Jared. Jared felt so good about him. Think about this. If we fast forward from, I'm talking about week two, if we fast forward to double eviction, Corey wins the HOH, he's targeting Jared. Who did Jared pick to play in the veto for him? He picked Matt. He picked Matt to play in the veto for him because for some reason, I don't know why, Jared thought that Matt was going to save him. It goes all the way back to week one, week two. Matt made a great relationship with Jared. Jared felt like he could trust him the entire time. And then Matt obviously wins the veto, doesn't use it. Jared goes home. That's just one example, but his social game was so great for so many different reasons. He was so close with Suri. Suri felt good about him throughout the game. Whereas Jag was public enemy number one for Suri, was public enemy number one for Izzy, for Heisim at one point, and he got saved by Matt, the Path to Power thing in week four. And then the very next week, he got saved again because Jared was the HOH. Jag was the target because Cameron won the veto. So Jag was the backup target. He was on the block with Red, and Suri decided to save Jag because of Jared's mistake. Jared, basically, Red was kind of on to Jared, and Red was look, I think Jared's tricking me here. If I stay, I might need to try to turn people against Jared. Suri was like, I need to get Red out because it's bad for Jared's game, even though keeping Red was probably better for her. Jag could have been gone again right there. He was evicted once week four, week five. He was saved once again. And Matt throughout all of this maintained a good position despite his allies, kind of trying to bring him down in different ways. And that just continued on. The other point, I think the other major point that I'll make, and I'll stop talking, is that when Cameron comes back in after the zombie week, they made like the fugitives, right? Matt basically made that happen. Matt was talking with Cam. Jag was left out of the combo, and Matt was talking with Cam. And Matt also was the one that really focused on that relationship with Bowie before Jag did. Now, Jag obviously would kind of capitalize on that later. And Jag did make a final two with Bowie at final five that Matt didn't do, which was a good move by Jag. But Matt was really driving a lot of that and set them up. And a crazy stat, and this just goes into the season that we had and summarizes it up. After we hit Jury and Cam left, there were only three people that won HOHs for the rest of the season.
Yep.
It was Jag.
The final three.
It was the final three. Yep. It was Jag, Matt, and Bowie that won the HOHs, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
But just overall, I think Matt played a much better game than Jag. I think the end game, I don't know. It was still pretty even because it's not like Jag was playing well.
No, he was just winning.
But he was winning the competitions.
Yeah. He wasn't particularly playing great.
And that kind of goes into what I was going to talk about is like, so just in general, this show, Big Brother, it's supposed to be a social strategy game. In the first eight seasons, it was basically a 50-50 split of who won the competitions between men and women. It was pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like 75-25. All these athletic, physical competitions, Jag's winning all the competitions. That makes the game less interesting, in my opinion, because it makes it easier or it makes it harder to make an argument for the person that's like not winning all the comps like Jag was. It's like if this game is all about winning comps, then how is this game as interesting anymore? Like we have the challenge. We have a show for that. We have the challenge that has like actual like pretty cool competitions if you're interested in that type of thing. Big Brother doesn't. Big Brother has corny little childish competitions, and they're making it all about that when that's not what the show was at the beginning. That's not what it was intended to be when it started. So, I mean, that's the biggest problem, and that's why, like, yes, as a result, because it's so focused on competitions, yeah, I guess I can't sit here and say Jag's a bad Big Brother player in season 25. But if this is season six, Jag would be a bad player. He would be. He would be a bad player. He would be evicted before Jury. And funny enough, he was evicted. He just got saved by a twist. So the competition's the twist. We've talked about it a lot in these podcasts throughout the season. And that's the issue. That's what needs to be fixed in general in this season. But yeah, I don't know. Brandon, I know you kind of agree with me, but those are the reasons I think Matt's definitely a better player. But I don't know. Did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I also wanted to talk about the current state of Big Brother because the competitions are a very big issue, and that's issue number one I wanted to talk about. We are not having equitable competitions at all. It is not even sort of equitable. We are not really allowing anyone that isn't a 6 foot, you know, athlete to win competitions. I mean, we're at the end here. I forget exactly what competition it was. I think it was one of the vetoes. We have Bowie Jane. We have the mamas, and we have the two super athletes, and they're in a running competition. They're running back and forth and doing stuff, and the two guys just destroyed them. I mean, it wasn't even that close. So, well, I mean, what are we doing here? The competitions are meant to be just these stupid, corny competitions that someone random gets in power, and then someone goes on the block, and they got to get their way off by talking, by making friendships, by making relationships, by strategizing, by manipulating, by lying, by deceiving. And does any of that even matter anymore? I mean, Jack just won competitions. He wasn't even a good player. It didn't matter if he lied to someone or didn't. Like, it didn't even matter.
It didn't. Yeah, and that's the other thing. It didn't matter. And Jag didn't manage the jury well. He didn't.
There were so many people walking out that were pissed off at Jag.
He lied to people for no reason. He isolated. They all. Matt did. It wasn't just Jag. It was Matt too.
Jag like spearheaded that. He had the whole plan to like isolate the mamas. And it's like, what are we doing here? Blue was his. He put her up twice. They were friends. What was he doing? He didn't play a good game. He won because they won competitions. And I wanted to talk about this real quick. Jag won this one, and he's a real physical player, okay? Last season, Taylor Hale won, and she did an excellent job. She masterminded some stuff. That was great. The second place was Monty, big physical guy.
Yeah, Monty would have been – Monty won a lot of the competitions. Yes. He was going to be the winner, but Taylor broke – I mean, she broke the – you know, she was able to win it. That was an upset, and that kind of hurt the – that kind of went against the trend, which was good. That's why I loved it, personally.
Season before, Xavier. Big physical threat. Season before, Cody Calfieri. Big physical threat. Yeah. And season before that, one of my least favorite house guests of all time, Jackson Mickey, who cheated, and we should not understate, he cheated. But nevertheless, big physical threat that won a lot of stuff in the end. Yeah. And we now have a pattern, and it's a very, 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 very bad pattern that is not equitable, and it is unfun to watch. The second thing we have to talk about is this season had so much potential. At the start, we had Ceri really running stuff from behind the scenes. And then one week, we got a flip. Corey and America got Jag, they got Matt, they got Mimi, they got all these people over, Bowie, and they flipped it and got Izzy out. At this point, it was such a beautiful thing happening. So beautiful. We were seeing a struggle of power. That is what I want to see when watching Big Brother. I want to see the power shift all along, and they're each taking shots at alliances, and people are, you know, going after each other, and it's not just one alliance dominating. And then a twist. A twist that made no sense. We just stopped Big Brother for a week. The zombies came in the house. They would, in my opinion, two of the least liked Big Brother guests. Apparently, one of them was not that unliked. That's what we're going to talk about in a second. Jared and Cameron come back. Both of them not liked. Both of them were pretty misogynistic. Jared specifically not a good person, in my opinion, at all. Cameron was super weird and creepy on this season. They didn't show any of that on the actual season, but he sucked. So we brought two people in the house that we didn't want in. Then we knew that Cameron was going to inevitably win. He was just the better physical competitor than Jared was. And then he didn't leave the next week. Why didn't he leave the next week? What happened? Didn't he win HOH?
He won HOH.
Oh,
right after
that's why. And then what happened the week after? When he couldn't win HOH. He got evicted immediately after. So we just paused Big Brother for a week. Nothing really happened from that. At a point in time, there was a man who ended up winning this game, Jack. He was voted out unanimously. What was it, 10-0?
I think it was 10 or 11.
He was voted out unanimously because he was bad at the game and won a lot of competitions.
Yeah.
And then ever since he got voted out, he was safe in like 7 of the 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Because by himself. He saved himself by winning competitions in 7 of the 9 weeks. I am not in enjoyment with Big Brother's twists. Not only are they corny, they pushed the game in a bad direction. We had a really great season on the cusps. Such a great time where we actually had a power struggle, and they ruined it by their stupid twists. And this is every season we get these dumb twists. Put 16 random people in the house and play Big Brother for 16 weeks. Or not 16 weeks, however long they're in there. How long are they in there? 8 weeks, 9 weeks?
100 days this season.
This season. What is that, 12 days. Weeks? 10, 11 weeks? Whatever it is. I don't care. Put them in. Just let them play Big Brother. No twists. Don't bring a legend in social games that has played 5 social games and she should have won multiple in there with her son and give her a massive advantage. Don't do any of that. I don't want to see any returning players. I don't care about the returning players. Give me 16 new players and just let them play Big Brother. No twists. Give me competitions that are reasonable. That's all I really want.
Even if Dr. Will comes back, you don't want it?
I would love to see Dr. Will. At this point, he's way older than when he played. And if that's when I have to give up to just get good Big Brother, I don't need to see Dr. Will again. I'll remember him for exactly what he was. And that's okay. So it's okay for things to come to an end. We don't need to revisit stuff.
Ben, where do you stand on this? If Dan Giesling was going to come back in the season, would you love that or no? What do you stand on this returning player thing?
I wouldn't be. I mean, like, if we're going to get a couple returners with a bunch of newbies, then no, we've seen that happen. It doesn't need to happen again. If we're going to get like a true all-star, whatever we got, a true legend cast, then maybe. But even at the end of the day, like, I don't need to see any more of Dan. I don't need to see any more of Will. I don't even need to see any more of Derek. And that was only a season. Like, I've seen everything I need to see from them. It's the same way. It's like, we don't need to remake this TV show. We don't need to remake this movie. It was fine the first time. I don't really need to see it again. I got as much as I needed to get out of it the first time. I'm cool with just having a bunch of newbies in the season, which is what we've been getting. But I don't know. I think Big Brother has a lot of issues, and there's a lot of things I could say, but I'll keep my mouth shut on it.
Well, I mean, Brandon and I rambled for about 10 minutes each.
True.
I mean, you can have your 10 minutes if you want.
I'm not going to give you 10 minutes, but I think there's two big issues with Big Brother at the moment. The first one, and you guys said this, but like the competitions, the fact that the competitions are supposed to be, and they originally were designed to progress the game forward, and that's it. They're designed to move the game forward. Something has to happen that leads to movement in the game. And what they've turned into is they are the game. And like you said, Trevor, like I've tried to sell Big Brother to a lot of people. I've tried to explain why Big Brother is a good idea. At the end of the day, the argument always, well, it's cheesy. They have these silly competitions. It's very childish. And my whole argument was, but that's such a small part of the game. The real game is what you do in between the competitions, how you position yourself before the votes, before the competitions, whatever. And it's turned into, well, what happens in the competition, that's going to drive the game moving forward, which is the exact opposite of what it was originally designed to do. So I think for whatever reason, the trends have completely shifted Big Brother to now it's competition-based, and the strategy in between the competitions are just kind of an afterthought where it really should be. The strategy is what drives the game, and the competitions are just something that has to progress forward. So again, I share the same opinion as you guys. I think the fact that they have become just a dominant line of physical competitions, that's part of the issue. But I don't know. I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to a Big Brother now, it's no longer a social strategy game. It is a just cheesier version of the challenge where competitions are the whole game, which is the exact opposite of why anyone in the first place wants to watch Big Brother. So that's just frustrating. It's frustrating to watch that, and it's the exact opposite of why the three of us watched Big Brother in the first place. And I think the majority of the fan base would agree.
Sorry to cut you off. One thing we talked about earlier when they were doing like a stupid twist, like, you know, when Frankie and them came in and it looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
We talked about how, I think we talked about on the podcast, like it's tough to recommend this to a friend right now. Yes, I would not recommend this to someone now. I
no,
wouldn't.
Not at all.
What we just watched was just garbage. It was garbage. We had such great potential. And the thing is, it wasn't the people that messed it up. It was production. It is the people running the show. It's not like we had like an egregious cast. You know, this cast was fairly likable, I think. In terms of gameplay, they weren't good. But nevertheless, I mean, we had Ceree, who is just so beloved by fandom. Apparently Cameron is beloved by fandom. Big Brother, I will not forgive you for the edit you gave him. I don't know why you decided that was going to be your golden child, but that was so dumb. So it's tough for me to recommend this to a friend. I wouldn't do it right now. In the current state it's in, I would not recommend it. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching. I still love Big Brother. I'm still going to be watching Big Brother. I won't watch the reindeer games. We won't be podcasting on the reindeer games. My point is, Big Brother, if someone there is listening, please, please make some changes. Please. Your game is not in a good state. Change some stuff.
We will see. One of the things I was going to say when you were talking, Ben, is that like the strategy from like final nine forward, it was literally who is the biggest comp threat? That's who we're going to target. And that's literally the order of how it went with Matt and Jag. Just like, all right, blue is the next best comp threat. All right, let's take out blue. All right, now it's this person. Like, it was like, okay, we're going to do Cameron. He's the biggest threat. We're going to take out Cameron. Then we're going to take out Blue. Blue's next, right? And then Corey. It's like, okay, so it's literally just like figured out for you. It's like, okay, this is the next biggest comp threat. That's who we're going to take out. So that was, it's just not fun. I mean, other than that, I think I pretty much said everything I was going to say. I mean, I could go on talking to, I don't want to keep going on about how all the bad things Jag did in the game. If I mean, you can, I guess maybe you could investigate and figure out all the things he did. I mean, he volunteered to go on the block one time and he almost got voted out because of it. He just wasn't really that great of a player. In general, this season, you know, despite that, I did like Jag for a lot of the game. For a while, I kind of liked him, and you know, congrats, you know, he got the win. You know, it's again, I thought Matt should have won, but regardless, congrats, Jag. But the season in general, I mean, I thought the first half was really solid. I was really enjoying it the first 5-6 weeks. The peak of the season was the double, like leading up to the double eviction, that was the best. And then it started going, I think, slowly back downhill again. But it was really good at that point. But the end game really kind of took it down. For me, this is one of the worst seasons I've seen. I did a quick little ranking. I've ranked all 25 seasons. I think I put it 17th out of 25. I have it just below Big Brother 22 and Big Brother 11. And yeah, I mean, those are pretty much my thoughts, Brandon. I don't know. Is there anything else you think we should talk about that we haven't talked about? I mean, yeah. What do you think?
No, I think we can wrap up this season here. All in all, I should say real quick, we do need to mention the draft.
Yes,
we'd be remiss to not mention it, as I think Ben might explode if we don't mention it. Ben, how many of these have you won in a row now?
I mean, again, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. I worry about myself. I don't worry about the discourse surrounding the. And some are saying that we would call it a dynasty now, because it is 3 out of 5 years that I have successfully won the draft. Again, I wouldn't call it that, but a lot of people would consider that to be a dynasty. Not to mention the fact that a lot of other people are making the points in my favor that I 3 times out of the 5 years have had both the people in the final two on my team. 1 year I had the final three all on my team. So again, it's not me personally, but I think a lot of the conversations, a lot of the discourse online is the fact that we may never see this dominant of a stretch again when it comes to Big Brother drafting teams, because it truly has been a remarkable run that one of us has been on. And I'll tell you right now, I don't plan on stepping away anytime soon. My favorite one is the next one, so I'm gonna keep going.
And here's the Ben, it's interesting you say how remarkable it is, because I'd argue there's a more remarkable feat here. I have not come close to winning at all.
You got second place this year. Second place this year.
Now, I was getting there. Place. Trevor, I beat you out this year. I got second place this year.
There's no second place in these drafts.
Oh, yes, right, sir,
I was first
Trevor.
Loser. You're second
Trevor,
loser.
Yes, there is.
You're either first or last in these
no,
drafts.
No, Trevor, that's
you
not
were
true
second
at all.
Loser.
That is not true.
I was
at
first
what
loser.
What are you, Cal Naughton Jr. over here? It's like, no.
I was first loser and you were second loser. That is a
we
win. Trevor, when you experience just piss poor gameplay from my perspective, I do every single one of these drafts, you accept the second place. I made the podium, okay? I made the podium, all right? And I know what, Ben, I know what you're thinking. You've made the podium every single year. This will be the first year that a podium doesn't exist for someone.
That's right.
And you're right.
I won last year.
Okay? That doesn't matter. I this year, you finished, you know, worse than I did. So that means I won. And not to mention that, I beat you out with Bowie Jane. Bowie Jane!
I don't know why this is a real argument you're making right now.
It is a very real argument. But all right, anything else we want to talk about on this Big Brother season? Because I am ready to close the book on this season.
I just have one thing to mention. Again, it's not me saying it, Trevor, but some people are saying that I think Ceree maybe has lost her fastball a little bit when it comes down to it. I mean, she got fifth place in a game that she should have won. She voted for the person that didn't end up winning, which means she doesn't really know Big Brother a whole lot, clearly. And she even said that Big Brother's harder than Survivor. So how much of a pedestal can we put her on when she was really good at a game that's not nearly as hard as the game she got fifth place in? So again, Trevor, I'm not saying it personally, but there might be some people out there that are having the conversation about, is Ceree just overall an overrated reality TV personality? Again, I'm not saying it personally. But there are that chatter and those conversations happening, Trevor. I just thought I'd, as someone who really likes Ceree and thinks that she's good at, for whatever reason, these games, I just wanted to let you know of those conversations that are happening.
And just real quick, some people would argue that Ceree did win because she gained a new relative, a new daughter in Izzy.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
I guess so.
Sure.
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, Ceree,
Didn't she also say that Matt was like her new son? So I guess Matt's part of the family now too. I think at some point she called Matt a son. So Matt, I think everyone Fields, is just, if you were nice Fields. To her, then she's, if you were nice to her, then she's part, then you're part of her family. So I don't think it's that hard to do.
If someone was a Ceree puppet at one time, they are now a child of her.
And yeah, Matt
was a puppet.
Matt was.
I mean, I'll just leave this here. Ceree's played in, I think, 6 of these strategy games. I think she's only had 11 votes cast against her in all of those. So that's pretty wild.
It's very impressive. And I will say this. I was totally joking. I will say this, though. I was so, like, dreading the whole, like, segment about, oh, everyone, let's reveal that Jared is Ceree's son, because we've done it, like, 10 times this year. I'm over it. But that was by far the best part of the episode, because I actually thought that was really funny. Like, when they were like, Matt, who do you think it is? And Matt's like, I don't know, America and Corey. That whole segment I do think was the best part. It was great. I was so dreading it. I was not looking forward to it, but he actually really enjoyed it. No, I actually really enjoyed it.
I hated how they did it. Because Julie is just so bad at her job. She is so terrible at her job.
No, let's not say that. We don't endorse that opinion on this podcast.
No, I do. I do, personally. Personally, I do. Yes. She is so terrible at her job. The way she did that was so bad. They could have done it in a more fun way. Matt made it entertaining because he said something funny. But if Matt didn't say something funny, it'd have been like, I don't know. And then someone else would have been like, I don't know.
They showed I thought it was funny. They showed all the reactions of the people that did find out on stage with Julie. Like, I thought that was interesting. I just thought it was funny.
I liked the reactions.
And that has been shoved down our throat all season. So I was not looking forward to it. But I just kind of genuinely enjoyed that. It's always fun to kind of watch, America and Corey said the whole thing about, I voted Jared out, and then I thought I could work with Ceree. Like, that's funny. So I did enjoy that segment. I thought it was one of my favorite parts of the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I did enjoy that part. What else did I join from? I didn't enjoy a ton from the finale, but I did like that. What else? I liked on the round table when Ceree, with Cameron sitting right next to him, said he
yes,
was a terrible
that was hilarious.
Social player.
Yeah, that was
and Cameron was like, and Cameron said like, Cameron, and Cameron said like, that like, is true.
Yeah, that's
you're right.
True.
Yeah, he's like,
he's
yeah,
so nonchalantly
true.
Was like, yeah.
Like, credit to
and
him.
That was good.
It's so interesting. I also found it funny where Mimi I thought Cameron was a villain, and then apparently everyone likes him on the season because of the edit. And like, she called out production.
I read it as like she was being genuine as like, I don't know.
I think she was.
That.
I think you're right. I don't think she meant to call out production.
Yeah.
But I think she was like, Cameron was a villain in my eyes, pretty
much.
Yeah. And he wasn't on the edit. And she shined some light on the edit being terrible.
Yeah.
Which was like a little bit of a dig at production. I don't think she meant it to be that way. But it ended up coming out that way because she's right. Cameron was a villain. And production didn't make him seem that way at all. But all right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up here. This is
there's one more thing. There's one more thing that we cannot let this go. We have to mention this because it was so bad. Trevor, I hate to do this to you. But America, she's dead to me forever. When she gritted up to the freaking thing to put your key in.
Oh,
like,
my.
I'm so done with that, Trevor. The fact that I ever rooted for her, I'm so over it. I never want to see her again. That seriously just killed 3 months of me enjoying her presence on TV. I never want to see her again. That was the cringiest thing I saw all season.
Bad.
And there was a lot of cringe this season. I think that was by far the worst thing I saw. I mean, Trevor, as the biggest America fan, maybe in the country of America, you have to be able to defend that, right? Like, I need to hear your explanation of what that was because it was so bad.
I have no defense. I have no defense. That was abysmal. I mean,
I seriously never want to see
from
her
the
ever
wrong
yet.
Vote. She voted for Jag, and she did that dance. I mean, I've been out on the gritty since I knew it was a thing.
Well,
it's
let's
a terrible
not go that
dance
far.
In general.
No, we're not going to go that
it's
far.
It's a terrible
Trevor.
Dance
let's
in general.
That.
Anyone
no, it's
who
not.
Does the gritty, it's
no,
anyone who does
that's
the
not
it's
true.
A terrible dance.
I can think of
it's
at least
stupid.
One person
it
that I very much enjoy watching do the gritty, but it was bad. It was
Jamar
very
Chase.
Bad. I mean, yeah, and again, Brandon would know it happens a lot, but anyway, that's not the point. It was just bad. It was very bad. I feel like that we cannot we cannot let this podcast go without mentioning that, because it was by far, I think, the cringiest thing I saw, maybe in the history of Big Brother. And I've seen a lot of bad things. I've seen proposals on finales of Big Brother, Trevor, and this was worse than that. This was worse than that.
We've seen some pretty cringy things.
Trevor, it was so bad. Trevor, it was so bad, because it wasn't even like, I think she thought she was being funny, but it was so not funny. It was really bad. And maybe that's what not talking to anyone outside of those seven people for 100 days will do to you, but it was inexcusable, those actions. Just absolutely inexcusable.
Yeah. Brandon, do you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to wrap it up. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to another season of Big Brother content. We will be back for the next season of Big Brother. I am excited to podcast again, and hopefully they do no twists and have better competitions and 16 people that don't have an advantage. That would be really, really cool. But thank you all so much for listening. Of course, subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed. We'll have another Small Baller podcast coming out this weekend. I unfortunately will not be on it, but Shocker. Trevor and Ben, okay, don't need that energy. Trevor and Ben will do a wonderful job, so definitely stay tuned for that. It'll be really, really enjoyable. But with that being said, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.